Blog Talk Radio.
In the headlines, listen, granted, everybody has their own frame, right? And so whatever fits everybody's frame is what everyone believes to be true. This is why ultimately as Muslims, you have to decide that, okay, yeah, true. I am seeing it through my frame. I am seeing it through my lens. And that's what I accept. So somebody else says, yeah, well, I see it through my frame. I see it through my lens. And that's it. So that's why they come up with this idea of your truth. Speak your truth. That's a deception, too. That's a deception. We say your truth. Then that's another attempt to make all quote-unquote truth. That is, if you use the word truth, well, that's your truth. That is my truth, right? As though there is no haq, as if there is no capital T truth. There's no such thing as capital T. That's the same as saying there is no God. You're saying the same thing. When you say my truth, your truth, my truth, all those truths are equal, so therefore they negate each other. So leave me to my truth, I leave you to your truth, all right? I'm talking in the world now. We're not at lakum dinukum waliyuddin right now in this conversation. Your truth, my truth, I'm glad to see that he spoke his truth and all that kind of thing. All that is a play to eliminate the uniqueness and the sanctity and the sacredness of the truth. The truth. And Allah is al-haq, the truth. So the same diminishing of truth to a personal choice is a part of the effort to diminish the reality of God in the world of people. Allah is never going to be changed or diminished or what have you. But the point is, it's an atheistic position, let's put it that way. It's an atheistic position, meaning, okay, there is no truth, there is no ultimate truth, it's just my truth, your truth. So, well, you're saying at the same time, there is no ultimate God, so that's your God, this is my God, right? No, la ilaha illallah. So Muslims, yes, you have your frame. Yes, and it comes from the Quran. Yes, it comes from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as we're speaking now, our thinking is also grounded in, and therefore our morals and our values and our perceptions are grounded on, okay, what does nature say? What does nature say? Nature, really, before you touch it. What does nature say, right? That is also our quote-unquote frame, all right? So we have to accept that when people say, well, that's your truth, that's your... No, for us, we're not to be unsettled by that. Our position is Allah revealed it in the Quran. Well, what about people saying the Bible? They can say whatever they want to say. They say God said that. Then that's a whole other conversation that we as Muslims don't have to get into. The idea is... the idea is that what is your mission? Is your mission to try to convince them to believe like you believe or to make sure that you don't get unsettled by that and that your behavior remains consistent despite what's going on in the world, that your behavior remains consistent with the truth that Allah has revealed to you that you have embraced and that the Prophet has modeled for you that you have embraced? That is your frame. And so you stay with that. So no matter what happens, you continue to view things through that particular lens, right? That's what the Quran is for. That's what the Prophet's life is for. It's for the purpose of giving you a criterion up between what's right and what's wrong. That's it. And the standard of what is right and what is wrong is not based on how many people or which people accept it or reject it. No, the standard stands alone. What Allah has revealed stands alone. You accept it or you reject it. That will not change the fact of what it actually is. So remember, Muslim, hold on to the most trustworthy handhold that will never break off, right? So therefore, that's what I'm saying. You have to simply accept that, okay, this is the source of my pattern of thinking. And you being comfortable and secured by that pattern of thinking, it doesn't matter which thinking comes against your thinking. It becomes the story of Moses and the Moses and the serpents and the rod and all of that. So let's move on. I just want us to understand that once we embrace the pattern of thinking that is in the creation, this is the way we're going right now, the pattern of thinking that's in the creation, and then you base your thought patterns on that pattern that's in creation, we go back to the Imam's quote where it says, that will bring you to the great destination that God wants you to reach in your capacity and your potential inside of you. It's about getting that innate pattern of thinking growing. You want to get it growing in your consciousness. You want to think that way. Which way? You want to think in a way that is consistent with the nature of creation. And by thinking in a way that is consistent with the nature of creation, that is the growth of your human potential, which results in your ability to utilize and take advantage of the powers and the laws and the possibilities that are in the cosmic order itself. This is not rhetoric. This is our religion. This is our way of life. So let's move on so we can get more to that. So let's go to the quote that we ended last week with, and now we're going to drill down a little more on it. So Imam Muhammad, again, and let me make sure, page 36, do I have the book here? Let's see if it's, make sure I got the right book. The Cosmos, yes. So, alhamdulillah, congratulations to, and we thank Allah for the work that was done by Imam Ronald Shaheed on these publications. Education, a Sacred Matter, Commentary, Imam W.D. Muhammad. So, yes, so this is page, this what we're reading now is from page 36 in that publication. So it says, the cosmos is in the soul, and they call it the microcosm. That is the macrocosm. So you can see him, imagine him pointing out to the universe, right? That is the macrocosm out there, but you have to see all that in here. Then it has reality for you. It's a big deal. Reality is a big deal, okay? So don't just think that's reality. No, know that you're talking about existence as created by the creator of all. That is reality. That's what you're looking for. And this conversation and what we're reading from the Imam is saying that you don't always see reality. You don't always see reality. You have things that you really experience. You have things that you are conscious of. But even those things you experience, those things that you are conscious of, they are not the reality until you understand. In fact, some of you remember from Iqbal's reading time we spent on the reconstruction of religious thought. It says, the laws of nature are the garments of reality. The laws of nature are the garments of reality. So even when you see the operations of nature, you're not seeing reality, but you are seeing the garments of reality. So once you get beyond and get behind and understand what's behind the laws of nature, now you're seeing the reality. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. But before that, let's quote now from the Imam continuing. He says, otherwise, it is nothing but what God says in the Quran, ghurur. So the Heaven's Gate people and all the other cults, they are suffering from this disease that we're speaking of, the wrong patterns of thought and the illusions and delusions that led to, you know, the headlines that we've read. Otherwise, it's nothing but what God says in the Quran, ghurur, meaning signs that will send you off in your mind, signs that will make you subject to have delusions if you take them for granted. January 6, 2021, the actions of a mob under ghurur, okay? Many signs, Senor Abraná, signs that will make you subject to have delusions if you take them for granted. In the Imam speaking, of course, of creation. I just couldn't avoid that little sidelight. So you will be deluded because what you think is real will be nothing but illusion, allurement, not reality. That idea was long before the idea that the Imam is saying right now, that what you're looking at and seeing with your eyes is not the reality, okay? And there's a reality behind what your senses bring you. And until you are able to see beyond that and come in contact with what's behind it, then it's nothing but illusion and allurement and not reality. He said that idea was long before these prophets we know of by name. Long before the prophets, there were seers and others, and they saw the universe was really a reflection of what is in the soul. That is why it is called ghurur. It is not real. It is real out there, but it is not real for the person who wants to understand that language and apply that language. You cannot do it. You are not supposed to apply it out there. You are supposed to apply it here. He's speaking in here, inside. So these seers were able to see into the nature of the soul of man and see that the language out there is really expressing the life in here. God made that is that cosmos, to speak the language of the soul. I need to make just one note real quick. Still got my grandbabies with me. So, what's next? Okay, so we covered that. So we're gonna switch up a little bit in this way. Let's look at a couple of notes as we transition. Brother James, I thank Allah, Wallace, Walathing, commentary explaining how Islam to all humanity. Also, my brother, keep up the good work. Alhamdulillah, mashallah. Assalamu alaikum, Khalika, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum. All right, Hakim, Bilal, I don't know, are you still in the islands or are you back over here, man? Alhamdulillah, good to see you. Mashallah, hope you continue to do your deep work as well. All right. So, all right, we're ready to shift one more level. All right, that idea that we're taking a portion from the quote that we just looked at, that idea was long before these prophets we know by name. Long before the prophets, there were seers and others, and they saw that the universe was really a reflection of what is in the soul. Now, so the balance of our time this morning is going to be devoted to unpacking that, right? Unpacking the fact that long before the prophet, really think about this. Where the Imam explained to us that human beings were on earth a long time before Adam was on the earth. So you can understand that, inshallah, quickly by understanding if Adam represents your life reconciled with the nature created by God, how long was it before human beings came to the state where they could, in consciousness, reconcile, consider themselves in consciousness and in thought, reconciled with the nature created by God. You know that that was a long time. Those human beings were on earth a long time before that state was realized in the consciousness of a human being. So when we get the idea of prophets, quote unquote, the fact of prophets, then when do prophets come? When do prophets come? They come when the human being has gotten off of the line of development that Allah has set them on, right? It's like there's a trajectory. You're aligned with nature, and so you follow nature, and then you go off. Then what does Allah do? He sends the prophet, okay, get back in line. In line with what? With the direction, the line of destiny that I have for you as a human being. 124,000 prophets, right? But the going astray has to do with a post-civilizational state. When I say a post-civilizational state, that is, there are things, there are structures, there are whatever institutions, if you will. No matter how early those institutions may be, they are as such. So how long did human beings, and we're actually talking about millions of years before human beings get to the state where they even have tribes, right? Before there were even tribes, right? So, but who were they? They were human beings, right? Then they get to a state where there's an order, where there's an order in place to further nurture and provide a womb for those human beings. But then even as they grow on that particular level that they're on, then things begin to happen inside of that group that are contrary to the destiny that God intended for them. And it's in situations like that that you get a prophet. You get a prophet, right? And so when the Imam said the idea was long before these prophets that we know of by name, right? We have names of prophets, and those names and the cities and the people that they serve have a particular role in the divine message and the final revelation as we have it right now. But what about the hundred thousand plus prophets before the ones that we know by name? I'm only saying that to say that when the Imam makes a statement that long before the prophets, there were seers and others that saw the universe was really a reflection of what is in the soul. The Imam uses terms like seers when he talks about this on other occasions. Seers, S-E-E-R-S, right? And one group of such seers that is labeled anthropologically, historically, culturally, are called shaman, S-H-A-M-A-N, shaman. They would fall into the category that fits what the Imam is saying here, in my view. The idea was long before the prophets, as we know, long before the prophets, there were seers and others, and they saw that the universe was really a reflection of the soul. Now, a gentleman who studies this, and he has a series that I've spent some time with, his name is Professor John Verivecki. He's a Canadian professor. And the series, you can find him on YouTube if you like, but remember the fish bones, but remember don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, et cetera. And remember don't approach that about which you have no knowledge, all of that. That's all of my provisos for you. But in episode 3, when he's speaking of awakening from the meaning crisis and speaking of the continuous cosmos and modern world grammar, Professor Verivecki said this. He said, so this is a continuous cosmos. I'm going to come back to my Quranic references after I read through this first. So this is a continuous cosmos. And it's continuous in another way, in that it moves in great cycles, just like the seasons, just like day and night. Time moves in large circles, in large cycles that repeat through eternity. In fact, what you're often trying to do with your ritual behavior is you're trying to tap into this continuity. You're trying to get back to the original power of creation. So you often enact the metaphorical story, the myth of how the universe is created, in order to try and tap into that creative power. There is a constant nostalgia for getting back, and your attitude towards the world is that you want to fit into these cycles. Okay? Now, in this statement, you can find Quranic support for it, and I want to remind you again that the Imam has the overall mission that Imam says that I am following in this. And let's see if I got the right. I just got to click through this way to get it, to get to it. Yes, here, where the Imam says, we have to translate the complicated ideas and theories into the language of the common people so they can get the benefit. This is the principle that I'm operating from. And so let's return to this quote. So 67, 3 and 4, I'm going to use my little app here to get to it. Get your Quran, because obviously we're going to be looking at all three of these. And for the sake of time, of course, we're not going to go through all the Arabic, but I want you to hear some of the meaning from this and see the connection. And this is from Surah Al-Mulk, right? Surah Al-Mulk. And that's Surah Al-Mulk 67, speaking of it as a continuous cosmos, right? A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. Where Allah says in the Quran, blessed is he in whose hand is the dominion, and he is over all things competent. Well, he has power over all things. I'm trying not to do the translation so much, meaning correction or editing the translation. I just want to read it so you can hear it. So speaking of God as al-Malik al-Mulk, essentially, he is the one that has dominion over everything. And then it says, he who created the life, the death and the life to test which of you is best in conduct, and he is exalted in might, the forgiving. And then he says, he who created the seven layers, the seven heavens in layers, you do not see in the creation of the most merciful any inconsistency. So return your vision. Do you see any breaks? The Arabic language in it is that, do you see any, well, tara'u min futur. Tara'u min futur. Do you see any breaks in it? In this case, the futur is it. But it is also, from as a student of Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah, he said, well, you don't stop. Futur, said your futur, yes. Do you see any fissures? Do you see any breaks? Do you see any seams? Yes, it means that. But also you see fitr in that, fitr. So it's saying, do you see the nature of it? Do you see the nature of it? That's an invitation from Allah to look into the nature of this cosmos. And so, and then in verse 4, it says, no, go back, look again, look twice. So the conversation or the instruction or the guidance, God is saying, don't just look at creation on one level. Look beneath the creation. Remember, the nature, the laws of nature are the garments of reality, according to Iqbal, the laws of nature of God. So when you look the first time, you see the laws of nature, the fitr. Then you go behind that, and then you see the nature of, you can actually say the nature of nature. When you look the second time, right? It said, your vision will return to you humbled while it is fatigued. Really? When you try to pursue, try to absorb and consume all that is possible in the nature of creation and in the nature of the nature of creation and how that applies to your life, yeah, you can get fatigued. But alhamdulillah, you'll also find rest, mashallah. So this is a continuous cosmos, the professor says, and it is continuous in another way. So that statement about the continuousness of the cosmos means it has no breaks. That's the statement of Tawheed, right? And it's continuous in another way in that it moves in great cycles, just like the seasons, just like day and night. Time moves in large cycles that repeat. And so now you go Quran 29:19. I'm just giving you little bits so that you can be connected with the veracity of the idea. So 29:19, and it says, Have you not considered how Allah begins the creation and then repeats it? Indeed, that is for Allah easy, right? So when he says time moves in large cycles that repeat, well, that's Islam. That's Quran. That's reality. That is al-haq. That is the truth, right? And you've heard us said and say often, life is a series of repetitive events linked by a chain of recurrent relations. So that it repeats on the social level, it repeats on the concrete material level, it repeats on the cosmic level, and then it says it does so through eternity. And we go to 32, inshallah, to see what that is saying in the Quran. 3362, it says, it is the established way of Allah with those who have passed away before, and you will not find in the way of Allah any change. And it is called the Sunnatullah, the Sunnatullah. And so when you hear even the word Sunnah, when you read it in the Quran, it's related to Allah's way. You don't read it, the Sunnah of Muhammad, the Sunnah of Rasul, in the Quran, but you do find Uswatun Hasana related to the Rasul. And the Imam points out to us that the Sunnah is from the Uswa. The Prophet's Sunnah is from the Uswa. It is who he is by nature, who he is inwardly, that gives us his outward character, his outward conduct, his outward behavior. But the nature of creation, the nature of reality, is the Sunnatullah, and it is eternal. He said, never will you find a change in the Sunnah of Allah. So this that Allah has established, he creates and then repeats, it never stops. It's eternal, okay? So the professor is speaking the truth here. In fact, what you're often trying to do with your ritual behavior is trying to tap into this continuity. See, that is, let's finish this line. You're trying to get back to the original power of creation. Let's go back to see and understand the supports that the Imam has already said this. The Imam said this. He's saying that Adam is your life reconciled with the nature of creation. And when you are reconciled in nature created by Allah, you will find patterns for your thinking that will bring you to the great destination that God wants you to reach for your capacity, your potential inside of you. This is what the seers, the shaman, and whoever they might be, whoever were working at that level with their people at whatever time and place, the goal is to get them back to what they saw and recognized as an originality in which their possibilities are also embedded and which are also embedded in them as individuals. And so these seers and later prophets, later personages known as prophets, their goal is to get the human being, their people, to get them to the realization and actualization of the possibilities that they acknowledge that are in them, but which must be cultivated in a particular way in order to do it. And so they looked at the nature of creation, the nature of the cosmos, and saying, when you see it right, and when you connect rightly with it, and when that becomes the foundation for your way of thinking and reflecting, that's how you're going to get to the destiny. So this is what he's speaking of when he says that there's a nostalgia, a constant nostalgia for getting back, and your attitude towards the world is that you want to fit into these cycles. That is fitratullahi lati fatara an-nas alayh, the aspiration, when Allah says in that verse, ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ قَيِّمًا. That is the way of life that will get you straight. Allahu Akbar. That's crooked thinking? Not possible. Once you use for your patterns of thinking, your patterns of thought, the nature of creation, because your nature and the nature of the potential for thought in you is the same as the nature in the patterns in the nature of creation. All that needs to happen is to be reconnected with that. And so these other sacred lives and sacred journeys and sacred spiritual systems, their aspiration is to get there. But alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, Allah said, al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinukum. This day have I put, you ain't got to go shopping. You ain't got to go shopping. I brought it to you. The perfect way of life. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinukum, wa atmamtu alaykum, I'ma do you a perfect favor, a complete favor. The longing for, how do I get there? God is saying, here's the way. Here's the way. Oh, yeah, I hear you, my Christian brother and sister. And I love you if you study the book as it should be studied. When he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, you're right. You are right. Alhamdulillah. And he's the second Adam. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Let us pray. Praise be to Allah. There's a constant nostalgia for getting back, and your attitude toward the world is that you want to fit into these cycles. That, brother and sister, when that is achieved, that is Adam reconciled with the nature created by Allah. So I feel like this idea is pretty well complete, and that is for today, right? This is a good cutoff point. Now, what's next, inshallah, what's next is the idea of isomorphism. We're going to spend some time with that, because to accomplish this reconciliation of the human potential and the cosmic order, if you understand what's labeled as isomorphism, see, Al-Islam does it without a label. Al-Islam does it without a label. But there are those who have put labels on what Al-Islam actually does, and maybe they don't even know that it is in Al-Islam, because they came at it from a different direction. But they come to this thing that, oh, and this is what we'll call isomorphism. Good. Let me tell you where that is in the Quran over here. Let me tell you where Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi said that over here. Let me introduce you to the Quran and to one of the greatest hearts, minds, and souls of Quran in the 20th and the 21st century. MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah. Rabbil Alameen. Okay. So that's going to be it for us on this side, and we'll get further on with Allah's grace and permission next week. For now, give you the opportunity for brief comment, brief feedback. Please don't try to reteach the subject. Share what you have to share, and that's much appreciated. Here we have, what do we have here? Abdul Shaheed. I'm thinking, or Blog Talk. Make sure you don't hang up in about a minute and a half. You won't be able to call back in if you do. We're not going to be much longer, but I am going to stay on. So if you hang up on Blog Talk, you won't be able to get back in. So check us out on Facebook and YouTube if you get cut off unintentionally. So that's it. So saying, I am thinking that seers are examples of human beings to develop. High, absolutely, absolutely. That's what the symbolism of Abdul Shaheed. That's what the symbolism on the pyramid is actually saying. It's like when we have things memorialized in things like whatever, the Statue of Liberty, the pyramids, the obelisks, and the Sphinx, and all that. These are memorials and preservation statues and objects, what have you, that are holding knowledge that took millennia to cultivate, and then then they instantiate, they establish them inside of the cultures that live upon those principles. That's just like us in the Liberty Bell and the Statue of Liberty and all those kinds of things, regardless of how true or untrue we may see those who supposedly represent it being. But let's move on. Block Talk, push one on your phone, come on.
الحمد لله رب العالمين وبسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Thank you for joining us this morning for Quran Salah Institute. Alhamdulillah, we continue on our subject. Right now, the immediate subject, I guess we can call it a chapter of the subject, is creation-supported social logic and the meaning of gurur. Gurur, that's where we are, but that's the subtopic under this subtopic.
Gurur, we're going to
go on with that. As we do on our Sunday's broadcast, we go on with the lesson and leave some time at the end for your comment. And so
let's get right to it.
All right, so we ended last week speaking about the subject of gurur, and I'm going to go with that transition right now. We read Imam Muhammad's comment. I won't read the whole comment again, but essentially, we read the comment for the Imam's expressions of how the cosmos is a reflection of the soul and vice versa, and how if you don't properly interpret or understand or perceive that creation, then it will be illusion, allurement, and not reality for you. When you don't simply look at it and take it in its concrete form without respect for its abstract nature and its purpose under Allah, then you won't be experiencing the reality. So the idea is to get a connection there, a perceptual connection, an understanding of it that will enable you to use what is out there in here, as the Imam describes it. And he says, until you do that, it is nothing but war. It is nothing but illusion for you. And the core of moving in that particular direction has to do with Imam Muhammad's statement, which is, Adam, is your life reconciled or realigned with the nature created by God? And when you find patterns for your thinking in that creation, that will bring you to the great destination that God wants to reach for your capacity and your potential inside of you. So the Imam is giving us the recipe for, okay, look, how to get the best out of yourself, to see the best of yourself as being reflected in the creation, and learn how to make the connection and the correlation between what's in the creation and what's in yourself, and allow follow the patterns of thought that are generated in you or that you connect with as a result of that reconciliation. And then following that pattern of thinking will lead you to the destiny. Okay, so that's the idea that we're following up. So all of this is designed to amplify that. We took a portion from that statement where the Imam said that idea was launched, speaking about the idea of the macrocosm, the out there, the in here, the making the connection, the reconciliation with it. He said it's not a new idea. He said that idea was long before these prophets that we know by name, long before the prophets, there were seers and others, and they saw that the universe was really a reflection of what is in the soul. And I listened to the commentary that we just played in the last portion of last week's class, and it reminded me of the statement that human beings were on Earth a long time before Adam was on the Earth. Some brief explanation of it last week. Abraham stood out right away when you think about the line of the prophets. Essentially, you actually think about Abraham. I know people say Adam is the first prophet, but there's some other things mixed in that too. Who was the prophet too? Who Hallelujah, you're probably too, but I'm not even trying to end the debate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, and it's connected with Adam and Abraham and Canada, which is a longer conversation. But let's just cover this. Let's just cover how the Quran helps us in understanding that statement from the Imam. Right? The human beings on earth a long time before Adam was on earth. See, because when you think that, and you only see the first human being, I mean literally the first bipedal anatomical creature as Adam, then not the best understanding. I won't say it's not correct in nature, yeah, but it's not the best understanding. Because of what? Imam Muhammad's statement that Adam is your life reconciled, realigned with the nature created by God, which finds its patterns for thinking in the nature of creation. Right? So the first human beings, the first bipedal human beings, that was not where they were. So by that definition, and remember epistemology, right? It's like, okay, so then that first one, you could say, yes, that was Adam. Another one, you said, no, it's not Adam. It's very much like is the zygote a human being or not? You know? Yes and no, right? So.
You're going with that.
So we can spit that out, you know, working it out, we have to get on with that right now. So, here's something to support the position that the Imam has given us, and it has value to take your knowledge to another really important place. It opens up an area of research, study, understanding. Until you understand this, it's not open to you. It's not open to you.
Huh?
Light upon light. Right? So, read the Imam's statement. The idea was the idea of microcosm, the idea was long before these prophets we know by name. Long before the prophets, there were seers and others, and they saw that the universe was really a reflection of what is in the soul. Okay? All right, so the thought of Abraham comes right away because, for me and in my view, Abraham was the first prophet. Right? And he's the Imam of all the prophets. Right? And we know Prophet Muhammad al-Isra, blah, blah, blah. I'm not trying to minimize it. I'm just saying that, yes, we know the prophet led all the prophets in the Isra and the Miraj. That's the later message. And the prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, if any of you want to see Abraham, then look at your brother. So the prophet is telling us also that he is Abraham. Now, you got to stay with the understanding of the difference between concretes and abstracts and metaphors and the message inside the metaphor, right? Because you could see Adam in Abraham, and you could see Abraham in Muhammad by the grace of Allah, inshallah, if Allah wills. Yeah, you can see it. Each of them represents a beginning. Each of them is a nafsun wahidatin in their place. Okay? All right. So now I want you to just think about the calendar. Think about the calendar. It's about calendar time. Yeah. So, Imam's statement. Human beings were alive a long time before Adam was on earth. Right? The Imam's statement. This idea was long before the prophets that we know by name. Abraham was a prophet, I say. He's the first prophet. A long time. I don't know. There's other ones. So, he's the first. Okay. When was Abraham? From a calendar perspective, when was Abraham? Well, Abraham was raised and lived among the Chaldeans, according to history. The Chaldeans, right? Chaldea, and the Chaldeans. Chaldea was a country that existed between the late 10th and the early 9th and mid 6th century, up and down part, okay? The late 10th, early 9th, and the mid 6th century before the Common Era, right? All right, so I'm not going to deal with the math on that. Some people, I think most people have it. Biblically, the number that's staying in my head often is like 4,000 years ago or something of that order. 4,000 years ago. Okay, so there's Abraham with Chaldeans from 4,000 years ago. You can say 5,000, you can say 6,000. Either way, the point is a few thousand years ago, right? After which the country and its people were absorbed and assimilated into Babylonia. Okay. All right. So you can go. I ask the same question of your sources. When was Babylonia? When was Babylonia? Babylon, Babylonian, all those.
Okay.
Now, the Chaldeans were a people. The Chaldeans were a people who they had the science of astronomy. They have the science of astronomy, right? This is one of the reasons why Abraham, given the knowledge of the power and the laws of the heavens and the earth, in order that he might have faith and certainty, because that was what his assertions were up against, and his doubts were up against what they were believing in. And his nature was already coming against it because he was doing it as a boy. He was doing it as a boy. His father was an idol maker.
But
he said, somebody write about all this, right? But he wasn't sure. He didn't know. Then God said, he showed Abraham, the 6th Surah, 74 through 80, Surah Al-An'am. And he showed him the powers and the laws that he might have certitude. So Abraham was certain after that. Even you can see, Solomon, son, God. No. Then, now I know. Now he's at this time. Now, when you look at, tie in the statement, human beings were on the earth a long time before Adam was on the earth, okay? Then let's look at the timeline, human beings and Adam, as defined, speaking of that definition, the reconciliation with the nature created by God, right? Which is a level of mind, a level of consciousness, a level of thinking. All right, that's that Adam. But before the human being gets there, there's a long time before the human being came to that state of mind. So I use Homo erectus as, quote unquote, the start of the human being, not Adam, in our definition, our terminology. The start of the human being, I'm saying Homo erectus. So Homo erectus. So okay, how long was this? 5,000 years, rather. How long was this 5,000 years between the 5,000 years ago and the, quote unquote, the rise of Homo erectus, right? Well, Homo erectus, meaning the upright man, is an extinct species of archaic human from the Pleistocene, with its earliest occurrence about 2 million years ago. 2 million years ago. That's when we get the beginning, according to the scientists. We get the beginning of I mean, in that span of time, like, still 2 million years ago. So that's 2 million years ago. So, again, human being was on the earth a long time before Adam was on the earth. If Abraham was the one who, and you can see in that verse, the reconciliation of Adam with the nature of creation, you can see that in the act, in the revelation of Abraham relative to the star, moon, and sun. You see, that was Adam literally being born right there. Do you understand the picture? That's Adam being, because he's becoming reconciled. Abraham, he's becoming reconciled with the nature created by Allah. That is how he should understand and perceive and believe on the inside, all right? And how he should perceive the nature of creation and how he should perceive the creator of the creation and himself. When he got that straight, Allah said, y'all need to go talk to Abraham. Y'all need to get what Abraham got. Abraham got the understanding, he's my model for the rest of time. That's your Adam right there. That's the Adam right there. So when we say the human being was on earth a long time before Adam was on the earth, now, so my reasoning, the language that I used in the reasoning, that, okay, Homo erectus to Abraham. Homo erectus to Abraham, 2 million years. Human beings was on earth a long time before Adam was on the earth. 2 million years. Okay? Now, if any of this is not clear, you need to ask that question again at the end of the broadcast. Let's move on to the next picture of Abraham in the same matter. So, Abraham coming up against Nimrod, right? As was understood, Surah 2, Ayah 258, where Nimrod is saying, you know, I'm God, right? And then Abraham said, my God is the one who caused the sun to rise from the east and set in the west. Reverse that order. That's your God. Reverse that order. And then, of course, he was dumbfounded. Alright? So, how was Abraham caused? He was reconciled with the nature created by God. He understood the nature of creation. He understood the nature of himself and also the nature of Nimrod. And he also understood the nature of the people that were watching. And he had these thought patterns that were undefeatable, inconquerable in its power for thinking. He broke up all the idols and then put the axe on the big one, left the big one, put an axe on the big one. People came in and said, who did this? He said, well, somebody did it. Ask the big one. So the idea is the thought patterns and the thinking and the way of reasoning that you come into once you're reconciled with the nature of creation is powerful. It's powerful. So now we go to Homo sapiens. Homo sapiens, which is the anatomically modern human being, the Homo erectus is deemed to be extinct now, but the first of those 2 million years ago. Homo erectus, when? That is, pardon me, Homo sapiens, the thinking creature, right? Homo sapiens, how long ago? 300,000 years ago. 300,000 years, that's 1.7 million years after Homo erectus, the star. 1.7 million, is that not a long time? That's human beings on the earth for a long time. You would call Homo erectus a human being. Then you have Homo sapiens, 300,000 years ago. That's the beginning. That's still not Adam, the condition of mind reconciled with the nature of creation and discovering its patterns for thought in creation, seeing the cosmos and seeing the macrocosm and the microcosm, seeing the cosmos out there as being a reflection of ourselves, quote-unquote, in here. That didn't start at 300,000 years. That came later, and again, we point back to Abraham. Abraham, who himself, again, if we use the numbers that are used for the Chaldeans, we're talking about 5,000 years. That's a really brief time ago. A really brief time ago. 5,000 years when you put in the full breadth of, quote, human history.
All right.
So what? Now here's your homework assignment. Your homework assignment. Go back and see when were numbers. When did human beings start using numbers? Go back and see when human beings started having alphabetic literacy. That is, writing. Human beings actually started writing. Writing with the intention to create words that hold ideas for the purpose of transmitting them into the future and at a distance. Right? And then when you think about that as a historical, anthropological phenomenon, and then read where Allah revealed that there were in the beginning, قَرَأْ بِسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ عَلَقٍ اِقْرَأْ وَرَبُّكَ الْأَكْرَمُ الَّذِي عَلَّمَ بِالْقَلَمِ. When did the man first start using a pen? When did he first start using a pen? And then taught man what he was before not knowing. The pen is powerful too. Listen, the first pen was the first computer, quote unquote, from a human technological point of view. The universe is actually the first computer, but the first pen was the first computer. It was a computer. But doesn't the pen store memory? Doesn't the pen create documents? Right? Computer.
It's a tool.
Technology. Right? And of Allah to the human being. Did it just start with Abraham? No, the Chaldeans were already doing what they were doing. So that information system was already in place. Somebody knew things about the nature of creation, and they were transmitting this knowledge for a very, very, very long time. All of those hundreds of thousands of years, when you find the distance between, and then that's something also to look at, to add to this, to look at, I'm trying to get you to appreciate the fact that once you break the literalism that people give us about the prophets and about the events in history and about what the Quran talks about, once you break that literalism, once you break that concrete reading of it and learn how to abstract and learn how to recognize abstractions and recognize how they hold information that is transtemporal, transspatial, etc., not limited to physical circumstance, physical people, physical bodies, not limited to that. Whenever it happened, alhamdulillah, the important thing is, what does it mean to me right now, and how do I abstract from these facts, whether they be scientific facts or whether they be facts of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, because if Allah revealed it, it's a fact. Okay. But now I need to use what I'm reading, these facts, that I need to make them work for me in my life right now. Right? So the idea is to, now, you look at the human being, how long was the human being on reality? No writing. There was no writing. The man did not just start knowing things when he learned how to write with alphabetic literacy. You know what I'm saying? You got, there was a lot of communication going on before the pen ever showed up. For hundreds of thousands of years, human beings talked to other human beings, transmitting ideas from one mind to the other. And no doubt, there's a time when a human being, they weren't even thinking about what it was that they were doing. No, they weren't thinking about it, they were just doing it. Right? Just think whatever you want to think about, all the things that a human being has done. Oh, you know what that is? Oh, look at that. Look at what we're doing. No. He didn't say, he's Homo sapiens. sapien. That's later. The Homo sapiens sapien is the one that starts. And what is this thing that we're doing? How long do you think in history before those questions started being asked by the Homo sapiens? Hundreds of thousands of years. All right. Okay, so when we understand that, then let's go to the opening statement again. That idea that is what? Macrocosm, microcosm. Somewhere before Abraham's, his inauguration, his appointment by Allah to be the imam to the nation. Sometime long before that knowledge was known. Allah said that he feeds from the sky and from the earth. From the sky and from the earth. Thank Allah for Imam Muhammad. So when the Quran says that, he sees this from the sky and from the earth, we don't just think about sunshine and vegetables. Okay? He's talking about abstractions that come from above and from below. They come by way of revelation, and they come by way of human nature. Think a lot of Imam Wadid Imam. You don't think like that until somebody tells you, think about it this way. And then when you think about it that way, you think, wait, there's a whole universe, there's a whole world in just thinking that way. Impact of thinking that way, the meaning, which is the energy and the food for your soul and your mind, and the light for your perception in the world so that it can stop being, we'll get the word in here, it can stop being gurur. It stops being gurur when you get to that place. You're not deluded. It's not an illusion. You're able to separate signal from noise by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alright. So, what was I talking about? I'm telling you. Who was the son of man? Yes. So, the idea is, how long was a human being an oral creature before he became a literal creature? Ask Google that question. Orality. Right. Then you got to spend time understanding how long is that? Hey, look, I'm just going to abbreviate this. Gutenberg Press. When the Gutenberg Press, what is it, 1500, something like that? That was just a minute ago, 1500. Gutenberg Press. It's only then that literature, et cetera, the mass production of literary works became possible. Before that even, a very small slice of the population was actually literate. They were by and large still oral. Right? 1800s. We really need to understand that public education broadly, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by the grace of Allah, emphasized that before anybody in the world emphasized it for the human being. Everybody needs to learn how to read, and there's blessings in learning how to read, blah, blah. So in terms of the rest of the world, coming into this literacy is a later phenomena, right? And when you go back to the scribes and the Pharisees and the scribes of that time that we know, but then even before that, you got the hieroglyphics and all the rest of that. This is not something that everybody in the public had the knowledge of. And it was a source of revealing and hiding secrets. But let me, this is the main point that I want to get to, is that Allah sends revelation. Allah began sending revelation. So now, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's the last prophet. All right, what did Allah send? Words. Send words specifically. So Allah revealed in words the truth. All right, and there were people who were skilled, Zayd and others, who were skilled at writing, and they wrote down what Allah revealed to the prophet. He's the last prophet. Right? Man, in the cycle of time that I've been talking about right now, there was a class of people who were ahead of the mass of people. You choose the time period, whatever, within that 2 million to 300,000 period. There are those who have been. Somewhere, somebody at some point in time began to ask the question, what is this thing, language, whatever that word might have been. Somebody, some seer, someone who is predisposed, someone who has an intuitive spirit, and much more so than the rest of the people, began to inquire about these types of human behavior. And they studied, they reflected, they learned, they abstracted, and they began to preserve what they were discovering and what they were coming to enlightenment about. I remind you again about a book, if you have time and interest, Why God Won't Go Away. And when you look at Dakili, I believe is the author, apostrophe A-Q-I-L-I, not Muslim, not that I know of. So, but the point is, in the book it explains what's going on. There's actually a confluence of right brain, left brain understanding about a thing that gives the human being these aha moments, and they, by description, would be what we would call a revelatory experience. This modern word uses terms like epiphany.
Right?
Human beings have been having epiphanies from forever, as long as we have been seeing creatures, conscious of our consciousness. But that's not everybody. You always have layers of leaders who they see ahead of the group to which they belong, and then they turn around and tell the others what they see. Now, the others that are a part of their family, let's call it tribe or what have you, since they speak the same language, when they turn around and share their epiphany, allow me to use that word, and they share their revelatory experience with them around the campfire, then they tell them the story that they experienced in that psychic moment, and then it becomes memorialized as sacred stories. Right? And it's preserved in the tribe for the purpose of keeping the tribe aware of the value of what the seer just brought to their attention. And then that puts that tribe on another level because they have embraced this inspiration, and then make sure I don't go past this point. I tell you, if you haven't got my book, The Clear Path to Undergraduate Neuroscience and Scriptural Language, you need to do that. So you can go to Amazon and you go to our cloud and study that. It's when we also break the, by the grace of Allah, inshallah, Allahu alam, break down where Allah says it is not for him to speak to man except in three ways. By inspiration, wahi. This is a part of what I'm talking about right now. This is wahi. And this wahi doesn't just happen to prophets. Okay? You understand? And these are some relates to the seers before. The seers before, they were getting wahi. Right? But this wahi is coming from from them up. That's the earth, from the earth. Right? Though, so why he comes, also from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but then there's also this internal experience that's inspirational, and it is a matter of the final gestation of something that's been working in that person, like the whole, you go look up the idea about Eureka, where that phrase comes from. That's like you reflect, then a moment comes and says, oh, I got it. That's Eureka. So the other one is a memoir from behind the veil, So you can see something in creation as the story of apocryphal or otherwise, the story of Newton, he's reflecting on stuff, they're trying to understand what we know today to be gravity or what have you. Then the apple falls on his head. So apple falls, and okay, when the apple falls, fell on his head, that's what's, okay? So, but that's what our head is coming from science, coming from behind something happening in creation, and then you come to understand something from that looking at creation. And so there's a revelation that comes from that. And then the final way that Allah reveals to the human being is by actual words from himself to the prophet or the messenger. Muhammad was both, the prophet and the messenger. So the idea is that for all these years, when the Imam says, long before there were prophets that we know by name, long before the prophets were seers and others who saw that the universe was really a reflection of what is in the soul. So if you can see the growth of knowledge, the growth of insight, after now, you have those seers who see others who have potential to be seers, and then based on their vision and their way of seeing, to the next generation of seers and their way of seeing, and then the advancement that comes from the quote-unquote one generation of seers, they take the knowledge to the next level, because there's always more knowledge to come, right? They take the knowledge to the next level. And so in terms of at some point in time in that series, if you're with me, I hope you are, at some point in time in that series, somebody arrives at the proper notion that the universe out there is really a reflection of what is in the soul. Now, you know, mashallah, inshallah, it seems that the people of ancient Kemet seem to get that, badge, you know, first identification of the soul. No, alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin. And then you have all the great knowledge of the skies and the earth and the gods and their relationship to the laws, etc. Maybe. I'm not taking it that far. I haven't taken it that far. It's like that's not the final answer. But for me, and it's good. It's good knowledge. I'm just saying that just to acknowledge that maybe that was. Maybe that was the first place where the recognition that the universe is a reflection of what is in the soul actually happened. At this moment, I'm inclined to believe it, because the other guys, mashallah, no disrespect, the Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, the Pythagoras, etc., they went to school there, all right? But most of them didn't graduate, but they left with enough life. They didn't graduate the full course, but they left with enough to do what is glorified in the Mediterranean for now. I mean, for them at that point in time. But all of that, I'm talking about the Egyptian knowledge and Kemet, in the blood of the Mediterranean, both of which are glorified, and rightly so, glorified is probably not the best word, held high, you know. Historically, alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin, beautiful. None of them, none of it has complete or is as high or supersedes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed in the Quran, and its revelation, which connects us with the foundation of the cosmos. Is it connected with the foundation of the cosmos and learning how to think from that foundation? We saw glimpses of it in the golden era of al-Islam, etc., alhamdulillah. But we have more technology now born from that very knowledge. We have more technology, concrete technology. Remember, the pen is a computer, right? So it's like the elevation of the pen to the computer. Well, there's other knowledge that is correlate to pen to computer. Whatever the knowledge that is had in the world right now, when we talk about things like quantum physics and other things like that, Al-Islam is already there. The knowledge is already there. And the way to get to that knowledge is already here. And by the grace of Allah, the things that we will do once we make that Adamic connection more formally, seriously, with the intention to apply it and not just entertain ourselves by talking about it to the lab to take it out and put it to work. When we do that, that's what's going to amaze the world, if you will. It's amazing to, mashallah, to first understand it from a, I'm going to use this language, from a theoretical point of view. But again, you got to have someone, okay, now apply it, make it work in the world. All right, so, yeah, that was the thought that we had about Adam and the human beings on Earth a long time ago. A thought generated from Imam Muhammad. Yes,
you know,
I know
whom we all first heard that. What?
Human beings on Earth a long time ago. We are, you know, we all got jacked when we heard it. Like, yeah. No.
Sometimes we just like it goes, man,
that was heavy. That sounded really good, man. I ain't never heard that put together like that. Come on, we love it. That's true. That's true. Now, after you finish clapping and hooray,
okay, what does it mean?
All right.
Really.
That's why we love today. We have some other things, inshallah. Again, we always we put a comma on it.
So, let me, I'm going to go ahead and open up. Those of you who are on Blog Talk, push one on your phone. We're going to
check out at 12 o'clock. So, we got these 7 minutes to close the broadcast out. Please be respectful of the time and the interest of others for sharing, if you have sharing that you would like to do.
I can see the comment section from those of you who type in from Facebook. Actually, one of the Facebooks come through. I have two Facebook pages. So one of the Facebooks, sometimes their comment comes through, but the other one doesn't. So I can't make a promise that I might not, that I won't miss yours, depending on if you're on Facebook. But YouTube, they most often come through. But now, those of you on Blog Talk, push one on your phone. If you have a comment, don't wait. Don't hesitate. Don't say, let me get somebody else. I don't want to be first.
Okay. Then we gotta move on. All right. The most important thing for me is to just to know that what we've said is understood. You know, our very thesis is a clear understanding. Because if you don't understand what we've said, due to a failure on my part to make something clear, then that's not good. But if you just stayed on it, that's fine. And that seems to be the case. So we're going to go ahead and sign off for this morning. We thank you so much for your time and attention, man. Love, God is to the best. Everybody have a wonderful day. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.